Welcome into another edition of Football 52. This is episode number, Michael Jordan, number 23. Ed Lamb, the head football coach for the UNC Bears. I'm Brady Hull. Coach, always great to catch up with you, my friend.
Great to be here. And episode 23, that's in our defensive language that we call that. There's a coverage, 23 coverage, a 2-under-3 deep coverage, pretty aggressive coverage, but it's we call it Jordan. You know, some of our defensive coverages go by the a famous jersey number of a famous athlete.
Well, but last week we talked about jersey numbers. So have you brushed up on the jersey numbers? Are you getting that down? Have you been studying?
I mean, you know, like I said, it's just not the way my mind works. But you got to be pretty dang out of it not to know that Michael Jordan wore 23.
That's right? The one.
Yeah, I mean Magic Johnson. Yeah. You give me like some of those guys, Diego Maradona. There's just some numbers that I think everybody knows.
Oh, even I think 45. He wore the 45 jersey when he came back from playing baseball and then decided, that's bad juju, so I'm going to go back to 23. I don't know why I remember that one, but it is, it's kind of how my brain works sometimes.
Clearly you're a numbers guy. Yeah, I mean, like, you're saying that and it sounds familiar, but there's no way that I would get that on a trivia question.
I think that came from collecting basketball cards, because I was one of those guys that was like, if I buy all the Michael Jordan cards, I will be a billionaire by the time I'm 38. The problem was they were printing those Jordan cards off like crazy, so everybody has them. I think I made $40 off of all my Michael Jordan cards. So you live and you learn. Coach, this is so this week and next week, we're kind of in that stretch of media days, too. I know we got a lot of things we're going to talk about today, but you're really starting to get that feel that college football is upon us. You've talked about it on this show. Once we cross over the 4th of July mark, it's kind of like our brains start shifting into, wow, week one is about a month and a half away. We're getting to that month mark at least. And then you start hearing all the media days. I know next week for you guys, for the Big Sky Conference, you have media days going on too. I keep saying I'm going to get to one of these someday. Hopefully next year is the opportunity for me. But that's when you kind of know football season's here. You're getting set. You're doing the media day thing. And then you come back and it's all systems go at that point.
Right. Yeah. I mean, every part of our organization feels that now. And so, like, for example, yesterday morning at our strength conditioning sessions, the strength coach was reminding each group that came through that they're not part of training camp. They're not released for practice until he says so. And I've given him that authority, right? So like he's making sure guys know you're not going to have some nagging injury and some modification on your weights and kind of coast into training camp with fresh legs while everybody else has been working really hard. You'll be catching up and doing weight room stuff during training camp, right? And we, from compliance to academics to equipment, everybody right now is in overdrive, and it's really hard at this point to not be very focused on that first day of camp, training camp in general, and game one.
When is the first day of training camp for you guys, Coach?
31st of okay. July.
So we are right around the corner.
Right.
Next week, you'll have the Big Sky Media Days. Do you look forward to those? Obviously, and I want to pick your brain a little bit. We always talk a little outside stuff sometimes. But Mike Gundy was in the news yesterday. Is this one of those where you're just like, okay, I just want to make sure I don't say anything that's like too distracting to the rest of my program?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I think, you know, no matter how comfortable coaches are, I am with media. I have always recognized that the opportunity to speak to media is an opportunity to speak to my team and to the opponents, and I look forward to that. I think it's really important. That's one of the reasons we're doing this right here. I've told you that.
Sure.
At least my part of the motivation to be here and talking with you, but. And so I would – it's hard for me to speak for everybody else, but I think I'm pretty comfortable with the media and pretty open. And yet, it's a nightmare to slip and say something unintended or have things – I've had things taken out of context, clips of a sentence put together with a different sentence. And I've had to – call – media members in the past and say, well, you know, that wasn't the context here. Why did you do that? Are you trying to make me look bad? So yeah, there's always that possibility.
Well, and you can trust us here. We don't go through and edit this thing and take anything out of context. We try to make sure it's this is raw. We just save it as soon as we're done here. I wanted to pick your brain about this because you and I have talked a lot. We talked about this last week, but just about substances and distractions that can come to your program. And I know you've been adamant about, guys, I want you to focus on the football aspect, on the school aspect, those two things and the other distractions that can get you in trouble, whatever that might be. Let's really put our focus on the football side, on the school side. Yesterday was interesting. Ollie Gordon, the stud running back for Oklahoma State, was it? I think it was 2 weeks ago. He got a DUI. He's 20 years old. Coach Mike Gundy, and I have a lot of respect for Coach. I mean, I love, who doesn't love watching Oklahoma State and what they're doing? But Coach kind of goes on yesterday, and it was a full-on interview. It was hard to take it out of context. He kind of goes into talking about the legal drinking limit. And, you know, he says, well, you know, he was a point one, and Oklahoma, the legal limit is 0.08. Heck, I've done that 4 or 6 times or 1,000 times in my life, and that's 4 or 5 beers, whatever. I guess my main takeaway was, well, yeah, we can talk about that until we're blue in the face, but he was 20. Ollie Gordon is 20 years old. He's not 21. And so my brain starts to work differently now after these podcasts. When I see something like that, I think about you, and I'm like, wow, this is like the complete opposite of what Coach talks about. I get what Coach Gundy was trying to do, I believe. I think he was trying to stick up for his guy, maybe try to take some of the heat and put it onto himself and say what he did wasn't that bad. But I wanted to get your 2 cents on this situation because it's a tough one, and he's catching a lot of heat today.
Yeah, you know, my 2 cents would be, I don't know. Number one, I don't know him personally. I've met, like most coaches, we've met each other a couple of times, you know, and he wouldn't recognize my name most likely. But and so not knowing him personally and not actually hearing the question, right? Because some of the questions sometimes are pretty leading.
Kind of take you to a different spot.
Right, and certainly respect his motivation. But, you know, completely abhorred by where he went with that. If you know, I believe that we really need to move college football back into the purpose that it originally served on campuses. We're educators. We're teachers as coaches. And, you know, we've lost some of that with the competitiveness of college football. And, you know, at some point the coaches stopped teaching classes and more emphasis was put on the on-field piece. But my personal experience was that I learned more in football that I carry with me on a day-to-day basis. And I'm a football coach, but I would say even if I had went into some other business, that I learned more about successful character qualities, values, work ethic, commitment to a cause, self-sacrifice. I learned more in football than I learned in any particular class. You got to consider the source here. Like, I stopped going to the national convention because it's an embarrassment to me. Mm-hmm. I'm embarrassed to be a part of that group. There are coaches stumbling around the streets at night, drunk. It's like all the, you know, there's fights going on, and there are thousands and thousands of coaches at this, and there are many, many, many guys that I could, you know, find common ground with about who we're supposed to be as mentors and models of manhood. So I don't want to say it's, you know, it's the whole coaching profession, but this comment to me, I would really like to see Mike walk it back. I would really like to see him put it in a different context. Just be honest. I was trying to defend my player, and you know, in hindsight, I should have recognized that he should not be drinking at all. And you know, so I'll be waiting to see that.
Yeah, he tweeted out last night, my intended point today at Big 12 Media Days was that we are all guilty of making bad decisions. It was not a reference to something specific. It sounded pretty specific. But again, when I hear this, I'm thinking about you. And I'm thinking, well, how would Coach Lamb respond to this? If your best player gets in trouble 2 weeks before Media Days, and Ollie Gordon, I'll give him this. He said, no, I want to go to Media Days. I want to own up to this. I want to be out in front of this, and I want to apologize. So I have a lot of respect for that. And I do have respect for coaches defending their guys, because I know these are your guys, and you know they're going to make mistakes. We're all human. But to me, it was almost, instead of going to bat for his guy and just sticking up for a bad decision, it almost felt like I'm excusing that bad decision. He goes on to actually mention how much money he's making, how these guys, they're in the limelight all the time. That's what I took from it. And I said, boy, this is a far cry from the message that we've been receiving from Coach Lamb every single week.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And I'm sure that Mike Gundy, you don't last as long as he has in this business.
Sure.
And had the kind of success if he hasn't delivered a lot of spot on point messages that resonate with young people. And so, you know, I hope everybody can see that now he is trying to walk that back. I wasn't aware of any of this. We kind of talked briefly.
I, a lot of times I throw stuff at you when you come in here and I'm like, hey, can I just ask you your thoughts on it? Because you're a little busy.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, if Mike and I were friends to the point where we were talking on the phone today, you know, I would acknowledge, man, like, oh man, you stuck your foot in your mouth on that one. And, yeah, good job on the tweet, like way to put it in perspective. But yeah, he did. I mean, he was talking about a specific situation. He was talking about his, and I believe we're supposed to be mentors and models. And I don't think any coach should be out there driving after five or six beers one time or 1,000 times.
Yeah,
I tell our players all the time, we're all, we're all responsible for each other. If I get a DUI, if you get a DUI, it's on all of us. It makes all of us look bad. And that's what Oklahoma State's going through right now.
Would you want your player, it's hard. I hate to do this like hypothetical thing with you, but if it was like 2 weeks ago, would you, and this was a chosen player that was coming to media days, would you still want that player to step up? And because again, when I view the players that go to these media days and represent, you are representing the school, you're representing the team, you're essentially a leader out there. How would you view that? And again, I know without that circumstance being in front of you, it's hard to really, because you would want to go through all the details of what happened. But how would you feel about that player still being chosen to go represent the University of Northern Colorado?
No, that's not hard for me at all. Assuming, and again, not having read up on this,
sure.
But let me make a couple of just assumptions. Assuming that the player is not fighting this and not trying to take it to court, saying, oh, there's some mistake here. I didn't drink, et cetera. Assuming that he said, yep, coach, I admit it. I made a mistake. It sounds like he's doing that.
Yeah.
Anyone in a public position of trust that gets a DUI is going to be suspended, removed, disciplined, reprimanded publicly, for some period of time. And I think it's appropriate. I think we should be a microcosm as a football program for life. I'm totally against the idea that football players should be perfect, or athletes should be perfect, or any student. I think athletes get a lot of scrutiny, and their mistakes, their community disservice oftentimes is newsworthy. But, I'd be willing to bet that taken against a cross section of, any particular majors on campus, that student athletes by far and away are performing at a high level, staying out of trouble and doing things right. And with privilege comes responsibility, and I think being in the public eye, there's certainly warranted some disciplinary action. And I would, I don't know if the Big 12 is bringing all their players, but if this is a select few from each team, in my opinion, that's an easy decision. Hey, you got this DUI. You weren't expected to be perfect, but there are consequences to your decisions. And this first, one of these initial consequences is going to be that you're going to miss out on getting the opportunity to go to media days.
Yeah, well, and again, to just one more point on that, I think he mentioned, hey, we're not going to suspend him. He said, what would that do? Would six games do it? I don't know, maybe, but we're not going to suspend him a game because that wouldn't really do anything. And I scratch my head at those kind of things. And he said, I think the punishment for him is we'll give him 50 carries in a game. And this is where I was really disappointed last night, because even I don't expect head coaches to be perfect, and I don't expect them to say the right things. But in that moment, man, it's like he messed up. He's not even 21. He's 20 years old. So he's under the age. He's under the legal drinking age. And he gets a DUI. But the punishment is going to be to basically play him harder. And I guess I look at that, and I was really disappointed in the response yesterday overall. And that is, I'll admit, these conversations with you have kind of made me think a different way about how we are raising, you're kind of helping raising these young men and women when we're talking about collegiate athletics. And here we are with this situation of, yeah, he screwed up, but here he is at media day. He's the best player in the conference. We're going to just play him harder. That's the punishment. And that was, I was a bummer for me as a fan, honestly, Coach.
I feel like you might be feeding me pieces of this story.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
To get my reaction, because I feel
honestly,
like
I'm trying to remember
the arena
all of it.
Just shifted. I mean, the fact, if he said that,
yeah,
that the punishment is going to be, they're going to load him up and give him carries,
mm-hmm.
the message to the rest of his team, there's, okay, that tweet, as you read it, if that's the only thing that he said to
yeah,
this point,
that's all I can see so
there's
far.
More coming.
And I haven't, seen any. Obviously, he does his interview after he's up on the podium. He's not saying as many things on the podium, but it was when he sat down with the, I think it was the ESPN crew, and that's when he opened up and just started going off on. I must have watched it a dozen times because I thought, is this AI? This does not seem right.
I'm embarrassed for him.
Yeah,
I am. And I got to think, as long as he's been in the business and as much success as he's had, that there's some significantly more coming here. That that they're, from a college president to an athletic director, to let that stand as is, I don't see that happening.
No,
that's absurd. It makes me embarrassed for the whole profession right now that he's somehow claiming that an underage player that put lives in jeopardy.
Yeah.
And made a mistake, and a mistake that any of us have or could have made,
sure, yeah.
Right? Our judgment isn't the best. If anyone here has had a drink, you can relate to making a poor decision after, right? But, Coach Gundy was in a position there to help that player learn a lesson. And so far what you're telling me, he's failed.
Yeah, and that was the biggest part for me is like we're kind of just glossing over the fact that he was 20. I mean, he's spending a lot of time talking about the amount of beers. Well, technically, this beer, according to body weight, it wouldn't really do it. Like none of that really matters because the first point is 20 years old. And then we get into the other aspect. Obviously, drinking and driving is just absolutely awful. But, there's so many aspects of this. But I will thank you for this because, and I've always had a certain way that I viewed it. Yeah, I've always thought, coaches, you are there. There's a reason you coach at this level. You want to help kind of bring these guys up. And I think a lot of parents have appreciated these podcasts because they're also like, what's going on in that program? I'm thousands of miles away. I'm not able to see and hear everything. My son doesn't tell me everything. I think you've opened a lot of eyes on this podcast. But when I'm watching that's the first thing that's going through my brain. I'm like, how that is not the way I believe Coach Lamb would play this one out if this were to happen.
I know different coaches have different rules, but there's the law of the land and the drinking age and whatever else he's talking about with how many beers affect a certain number of pounds and all that stuff. Like, I get all that. That's law of the land. And then there's laws of the program. And to me, the right thing to do is to make sure that you're, like we talked about last week, there are performance enhancers, there are performance detractors. And either that's a program that's quickly on the decline, or I just see things just in a completely different way. But that is not how we're going to build it here. And in the coaching world, you're really not a respecter of records based on what is the context? Where's this guy coaching at? And so good for Coach Gundy. He's had a lot of success, but he's only had coaching jobs at Oklahoma State. They've got resources far and above anyone else in their conference. And right now, if I were him, I would be worried about, okay, well, who's the next person they bring in? Because whatever he averages, eight wins a year or something like that, a goldfish in a bowl might be able to be the head coach on the sideline and get eight wins at Oklahoma State. As you can tell, I'm a little
fired
upset
up.
You
should be. Yeah, I, a lot of people are today.
Yeah.
I never thought in a million years we'd have Big 12 media days in a year where the CU Buffs are now back in the Big 12. I thought primetime's going to steal the show. He's going to say something. he speaks today, I believe. We're doing this on a Wednesday. But there's nothing he can say today. that will take any of this heat away. This is all on Mike Gundy. It was all about him yesterday.
Again, for the record, not that you know, Mike Gundy's listening to my podcast. We might send it to him.
just
for the record, I don't sit in a place of perfection or judgment. If at any point here he decides to take this opportunity to say, I made a mistake, I doubled down and made another mistake, and I just completely saw this thing wrong from the beginning, all in the intention of defending this young man that I know is such a quality human being, and he made a mistake, and I feel for him. But the reality is he made a mistake. If at any point he says that, I'm again a big Coach Gundy fan, as I am of all coaches in this business and you know, coaches in general.
Yeah.
I understand what guys are going through.
Yeah, and that's where, like, where I'm trying to look at this from a realistic, a positive view too, is I do think that his intentions were to defend his player. I do. Just the way he went about it was really rough. But then at the end of the day, the suspension issue is difficult. And I think that bothers a lot of people throughout the country, is when they feel like athletes get away with whatever. Well, here is a golden example of that is, you know, he might actually get a punishment. They probably will sit down after this and decide maybe they should punish him. But to just kind of dismiss, well, what's a game going to do? You know, would it take six games? And then he said maybe. Well, then maybe it should be six games. But instead it's, no, we're going to give you more carries. Isn't that what these guys want? I mean, Don't they want more carries? Don't they want more yards? Don't they want to break records?
Absolutely. Yeah. Playing time. Maybe it was meant as a joke. And again,
sure.
Now that there's more attention on this topic than there ever would have been had he said, "Yep, mistake. You won't see him here at media days." It would kind of, you know, in a week it would be forgotten. Now that there's so much more attention on it, he has more of a platform than ever to walk these comments back and to use it as a learning opportunity, not just for his players, but for my players and every other underage athlete out there, and for that matter, the athletes that are of age, right? Like marijuana is legal too. But as we talked about last week, this is a performance detractor. As a coach, we need to be talking about all performance detractors, from laziness to video games to lack of sleep to lack of hydration. All of that stuff should be team rules. Who cares about the law of the land? Let's talk about team rules. And alcohol is a performance detractor in every way.
Coach, next week for you guys, just don't say anything controversial next week. You know, you got media days. Who is going to represent, along with you, the University of Northern Colorado?
Well, here's the good news. There's not a lot of people paying close attention to us right now, so there may not be any quotes coming out of me. We'll see if any media...
We can fire up the podcast from there if we need to.
We'll see if any media members even want to stop by our table. But, you know, we're kind of... I really want to fly under the radar here, and there's some gamesmanship. No question Hunter Green deserves as much or more than anyone on our team to go and represent us.
Awesome.
But it's kind of, you know, if we get this thing turned this season, like I expect to, the fact that we're taking our punter to Big Sky Media Days as if, oh, you know, we've got a dearth of talent here. You know, I don't know how many playmakers we have. We're bringing our punter, Hunter Green, and we're bringing punter kicker. I got to give him full credit. And then and then our defensive tackle, Sam Amitua Nai. And those two together, humble, deserving. Anyone on our team that's heard the news, found out about it, immediate respect right there. Those guys have a lot of respect. They'll represent us really well. I'm excited to spend a couple of days with them up in Spokane.
There's something pretty special to being those chosen guys to go to those media days and to represent like that too, because they're going along with you. And, you know, if, you know, whatever the media attention is like, they're still expected to represent the school, to represent kind of your philosophy too at the same time in front of reporters that are not following them on a regular basis.
Absolutely. And they'll both, I have such high confidence in both of them. And, you know, going back to Coach Gundy, like once you select guys for this, like these two guys have proven over a long period of time to me and their teammates that they are trustworthy, that they care about what's going on. And it would be really hard if one of these guys made a poor decision and I was somehow left between, man, I gotta reprimand this guy and discipline them, but at the same time let everybody know these are exactly the type of young men that we want coming through Northern Colorado. These type of young men, the more of these we get, the more our odds of winning a championship increase.
Well, and I love the fact that Hunter's going. You know, I think you have a lot of studs. We've talked a lot about some great players. We're actually going to talk to Van Shield today on the whole show later on. Again, it's a Wednesday, July 10th. But man, I tell you, Coach, having a punter, an egg punter kicker, but a punter that can flip the field for you guys, like that is a huge thing. That is something that I think a lot of people underrate. You know, you get media members, they don't talk about it that much, but that is a big difference. So I think obviously having a player of his caliber then going to represent the University of Northern Colorado, I think it's pretty special.
Our kickoff and punt results were amongst the best in the country last year. He handles both of those. A lot of touchbacks on kickoffs, even into the wind. Incredibly strong leg, very competitive. Completely committed in the offseason. He's a football player, not just a punter kicker. He's a football player. He's, you know, from his roommates to his friends, you know, there's a group of guys. They all live together and hang out together. And Hunter's part of this group that is exactly what I envision UNC as. And one of the things I was, you know, kind of alluding to as I texted you last night, some things to talk about is, you know, I feel like now that when I'm in front of the team, I'm going to begin talking to that group because that group is getting bigger and bigger and they're becoming the majority of the team, the guys that do things right.
Well, talk to us about some of those texts. I mean, sure. Last week you said, hey, I'm not a big numbers guy, but you're sending me all these fractions last night. And my head is spinning. I'm like, what? Where are we going? I'm excited to learn about this. A couple of different rules that you want to talk about.
Sure. Yeah. Well, in coaching circles and you know, I think business books and things like that, you'll oftentimes hear the third principle. Like I was taught that there's always going to be kind of a bottom one third of the team, guys that are just they don't get it yet. Right. And, you know, whether it's community disservice, whether it's academics, they haven't balanced things out. They're not working hard enough in the weight room. They don't know how to give effort. They don't know how to strain. It could be the substance abuse thing holding them back, all kinds of things. But you've generally got, you know, kind of a third of the guys in any given group that are high performers and they're completely dedicated to what they do. And then you've got a bottom third that is, you know, maybe lacking confidence or experience to the point where they're doing self-sabotaging behaviors. And the way it was explained to me originally was then you've got that middle one third of the team that is just looking, okay, well, where's the talent at? And if the talent's in the bottom one third, that's the type of team you have. Mm-hmm. You know, two thirds of your team is you know, there's just not dedicated. You got no chance to win. Anyway, I've felt a huge shift. I was talking to Coach Smiley about this last night. We were doing the men's league golf, and so in between holes on the cart, you know, I was telling him about the one third rule. I really felt like this past off season, as I was doing my cultural meetings on Friday night, and so often was sharing with you what we were talking about. I was talking to the team every week. I was talking to the bottom one third. I was pleading for these guys. Hey, you know, giving them education, telling them about alcohol, drugs, you know, what, how to relieve stress academically and how that will help you on the football field. You know, I'm pleading to these guys. And there were a bunch of guys in the room that probably were just putting up with it. Like, yeah, it's good information. It's good to know. But coach, I'm completely in. I'm bought in. I'm doing everything I can. And so I think it sucks to sit there and listen to that week
sure.
after week. And I kept asking myself, you know, every Friday night after those meetings, like, okay, I delivered the message I wanted to, but when am I going to be inspired to talk to this team, to talk to the winners, to talk to the guys who do things right? And when I'm addressing the whole team, actually be addressing the guys who are doing it right, the top one third. And I felt that this summer. And Coach Smiley, he said, yeah, you know, we call it the 80-20. You know, 80% of your problems come from 20% of the guys.
Wow.
And that is a more of I've heard that a lot more than I have the one third, you know, but we're getting there, Brady, and anyone who's listening, like we're getting there. I plan out what I want to talk to the team about, and it's always I can change my mind at the last second because as a coach, you got to be really in tune to what we need to hear today as a team. But at the same time, I want to have a message that transcends the season and the seasons, and I want to be consistent, and I don't want to be a kind of a motivation of the week kind of guy. So it's important to me to kind of plan out systematically, okay, where are we at culturally and where do we need to go? And I can tell you that right now, as I've planned out training camp and some of the things I really want to address with our team, in my mind, I'm talking to the guys who do it right. I'm talking to that. For us, it's a you run you crowd.
Like, what is that like to feel that transition too? I mean, like in your brain, because as you said, you're going home at night and you're thinking, man, I know there's a lot of guys that are like, hey, we've already heard this. We're in, coach. We're in. Yeah. When is it going to kind of shift to a message where it's like, hey, now I have more guys that are doing all the things we need to do, as opposed to the guys that are still behind, whatever, trying to figure it out? What is that like for you personally?
It resonates with me more because I have the chance now to be the type of coach that I envision. You know, I always want to preach life skills and disciplines and habits and how that leads to success, not just in football but in life. But I think you can do that focusing on the negatives or focusing on the positives. But, you know, to stand in front of a team full of guys who are drinking, smoking, performing poorly in the classroom, and the majority of your talented guys are in that group, and talk like everything is roses, you know, and try to inspire them and talk to them as if they are doing the little things right off the field, you're missing an opportunity, right? They're just not there at that point. And I could be wrong. I have to make my best guesses at some of these things. But here's what I know. Right now, we have enough good players who care enough about football preparation that I can begin speaking to those guys. And anyone who's not at this point catching up, they'll just kind of remain in the bottom one third, and they're probably not going to be very high on the depth chart. They'll be lower than they should be, let's put it that way, and may not even be on the travel squad.
Well, and one of the things we always go back to is finding those leaders too. Obviously, the coaching staff expecting those guys to be the leaders, but finding those guys on the field for you. We've talked a lot about, we're going to get more into the depth chart and all that stuff too, where we go into specific players. I know you love that so much. But when you talk about shifting a mindset in a locker room with a bunch of guys of, hey, we need the good ones to really rise above. So then I'm not saying good or bad, but the ones that are buying into what you're doing, so that the rest of the guys that maybe are a little on the edge or just not doing everything 100% right, they start looking at those leaders. And I know we want to talk a little bit about that offensive line and the leadership that they've brought to your football program.
You know, a few years ago, the NCAA started to change some of the off-season rules. You know, it used to be like ridiculous. You'd have a compliance officer out there making sure that you weren't using a football. You'd have, and so we, as coaches, we would use tennis balls, or we would kind of try to tape up a towel to look just like a football and be the same size as a football, and to demarcate where the ball is spotted, or you know, and handing it off to running backs, things like that, simulating throws. And then you were only allowed to get in a formation that had so many guys. So you could do like a half field formation, but not a full field formation, like a 6-man formation. It was kind of bizarre. And yet you have other sports. Like, here's the one that always gets me, a little bit of a tangent here, but like, we had gymnastics at Southern Utah. And gymnastics, what the NCAA ruled is that because gymnastics is a sport that requires intense safety training, that gymnastics coaches can work with gymnastics student athletes year round. So they have practice year round.
Wow.
And I'm like, no, wait, like, there's way more injuries in football than there are in gymnastics. What are we talking about here?
Yeah.
So I never understood that. But my point is, the NCAA and some of these player panels, student athlete advisory councils that the NCAA works with, I think they've found a good spot right now where we can teach football year round. But we're not doing the contact piece. And as coaches, we're very aware that, like, we don't want to bring these guys into training camp like burned up. We want them to still be excited about football. But we're doing a lot of learning right now. So to answer your question about the offensive line, here's something that we saw yesterday. As I mentioned last week, our young kids, what we call our summer bridge kids, our incoming freshmen, are now on campus. and going to class and training with our team. And the way that their workout session fits in is it overlaps so that they can be on the field. So our offensive young guys are on the field at the same time as our offensive veteran guys, and we're doing practice, a non-contact practice, somewhat between a walkthrough and a jog-through. There are a lot of individual skill work that's done at a little higher tempo, but there's no contact involved. So the freshman offensive linemen get in there, and they know what they're doing. They're a little bit ahead of where the offensive line coach expected them to be. And, you know, so he's explaining this to me after practice. He's like, he said, you know, Montre, Lincoln, they got in there and they're making calls and then questioning themselves a little bit because it's their first time in there. But as they're questioning themselves, I could tell that somebody's taught them something that I didn't teach them. I haven't had a chance to teach them. So he come to find out the offensive line, the veteran guys, have been inviting the freshmen over. They all get together on Wednesday, which is our day off of training, for breakfast that the veteran guys have been cooking. Isaiah Sierra, James Betchart, I think, those are the two that I was told were kind of leading this thing. And they're getting these guys together for breakfast and teaching them and going through video. That is light years ahead of where we were a year ago. And just an incredible leap forward in terms of our care factor.
They just did this upon themselves. They just decided, hey, you know what? We have an off day in terms of workouts, so we're going to get together, make sure we're up to speed, but bring in the young guys as well, make sure everybody's up to speed. If that does not define a teammate, I don't know what does.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just incredible because the flip side of that is if you've got the other kind of culture, then it's, hey, guys, we got Wednesday off, so Tuesday night's party night.
Mm-hmm.
We're going out on Tuesday night, and you're not going to have guys getting together for breakfast.
Yeah,
after doing something like that, it'd be sleeping in, and here's these guys. Like it would be really hard to go and sabotage yourself on Tuesday night, and then get up on Wednesday and look your teammates in the eye and say, "Let's really grind on football this morning." You know,
wow.
So it's just such an amazing, you know, and those two names, Isaiah Sierra, one of our best student athletes on the team. You know, a guy that has several 4.0 semesters. I think he's a 3.9 overall. And a really good player. It hurt us a lot last year when he went down in our first year, went down before the season ever started with an ACL, but he's back to full speed now. James Betchart, probably one of the most improved guys in terms of like lifestyle and care factor for football, where he was when we got here and then who he is now. And you know, I feel like he would be proud of me saying that. I've talked to him about that before. I'm not trying to be judgmental about where he was necessarily, just kind of stating it the way I see it and the way we've talked about it. I've been honest too about myself and my ups and downs as, you know, when I was a player. And I think it's a really important part for a lot of players is just to realize that what you're willing to give up off the field, it directly impacts what you'll gain on the field.
Now, Coach, just to reiterate, I mean, you just recently found out that they're doing this get together on Wednesdays. The other big thing about that too is a lot of guys would be like, hey, we're doing extra stuff. I want to make sure Coach Lamb knows about it so that, you know, we get in the good graces, or maybe we get an off day or relax on a certain workout. That, to me, is another selfless act right there. That's a huge thing. It's like not only are we getting together on our off time to work with each other, help the young ones come up and learn, but we're not going to advertise it.
No.
Two big things right there.
Yeah, and that's O-line in general, you know, but – you know, as I look across that group there, if you knew these guys, you would know, like if you knew Aiden Moe and Micah Nanning and some of these veteran guys that have been around, even young guys like Levi Johnson and some of the new guys, Jack Bacon, these guys are not, and offensive linemen generally are not guys that are going to want to somehow have something positive get back to the coach or try to put effort into something in a way that's going to make them look good. They're a selfless group. And right now their strength is each other. And it's just incredible to see them. You know, I'm leaving out names, but if we went through that whole offensive line group as we've kind of done before,
sure.
maybe we should next episode, I'll just bring the group there.
I'll start breaking the depth chart a little bit.
Every one of these guys has a story and it's a positive story right now. You know, Q Robinson is a guy that's just changed his body dramatically. And I, you know, to envision him being there, as a guy that, you know, came in as a transfer last year and probably had a tough time getting to know everybody. The offensive line is a close group, but it's not like you show up new and you're immediately in the middle of that close group. And I feel like that Q, suddenly has earned a lot of respect through hard work and changing his body and continuing to fight through adversity.
These are my favorite things about these podcasts because, you know, I think 2 weeks ago I joked with you about football cliches, and one of them, it's not a cliche, but it's just a saying that we all just say, hey, offensive linemen, they're selfless, you know, nobody appreciates them, blah, blah, blah. But then when you give me a specific story like that, that's the goal. That's the ticket right there, because that tells you everything you need to know. And again, some line groups are different, I'm sure. But this is a combination of a selfless group, but also 100% buying into the message from the program.
They are. There's no question about it. And the team so often goes as the line goes. And you know, one of the other things that came out of a practice session, the coaches, they don't get the same time off as the players. So at times during the summer, a coach will have, family engagement, reunion, family emergency, something like that. Well, our wide receivers had a player run practice the other day during practice. Coach Rigel wasn't there. And the way that our lift sessions work is we're basically, from 8 to noon, you're going to find a football player doing something. But we just kind of rotate through the weight room and the field and offense and defense and guys are out. But as the defense was getting going with their sessions yesterday and the offense was done, officially done, the whole wide receiver group was still out working by themselves. And not like out catching passes and goofing around and doing – like you get a lot of that, hey, let's do some one-on-ones, and they're out there competing and having fun like they would in pickup basketball or something, just kind of goofing around, playing the sport they love. That would be fine too, and that would be a good sign. But this was like work, like correcting each other, holding each other accountable. Hey, we got to get this right, this alignment, this motion, this snap point. And to just kind of see them out there unasked and unscripted – such a great sign for us.
Oh, I love it. Again, it's July 10th. We're on episode, as we said, 23. But from episode one, just, hearing you talk about, learning more about this team. The year before, that's me trying. Everybody's trying to just get to know the situation. So as we talked to you in that very first episode, we were kind of relearning everything. And, you're talking about the messages and you're hoping they receive it and there's going to be guys that buy in. The portal is your friend. I mean, there's a lot of different quotes we've talked about.
Yeah.
And there is a light. There's a twinkle in your eye today, Coach, where it's kind of like July 10th. Everything we've been doing to this point is really taking hold. And that's got to be so cool to see.
To hear you repeat that back to me, that was a mantra that I was really using and preaching hard, that the portal is your friend. That would be so inappropriate at this point right now with our team for me to stand in front of the team and say that. I can't – when I would say that in the past, I was talking to certain guys, to certain groups of guys that I knew needed to leave, needed to change. And it would just be a complete waste of time right now for me to be standing in front of our team talking about the portal is your friend and challenging guys to consider moving on.
This, again, I talk about things I love about this podcast all the time, but seeing as the seasons change, your demeanor, again, not that it's good or bad, but it's just there's a confidence there. And I suppose that's what you want, a month and a half before that first kickoff against Incarnate Word. You want to start having that confidence where you're like, wow, I'm finding out that I'm not finding out bad things. I'm not learning that the guys are going out all night on a Tuesday night. I'm learning the opposite. I'm learning that my offensive line's getting together early in the morning on an off day to grab breakfast and go over things so that the young guys are surprising the position coaches and doing things. Wide receiver groups getting together. So all those positives are really starting to take hold on, here we go as we approach mid-July.
This is going to sound crazy to fans out there that think that a coach should be a certain way. But when we really started to get it rolling at Southern Utah, and I only hearken back to this because that's my only head coaching experience, right? And we had success. I really stopped caring about in the 48 hours before a game. There's tremendous amount of nerves. Like these are 18, 22 year old kids. Like how they perform, my livelihood, my family's livelihood depends on that. It's tremendously stressful. But we had gotten to a point there where I had so much trust and faith in the way that they were going to perform, there's no way that I can know how good our opponent is going to be on that given day, how good their game plan is going to be, especially early in the season, who they are, how talented the opponent is. So the win and loss is, you know, that you can have coaches that are going to be blustery and, you know, say they're going to claim maybe a false confidence, I would call it, right? There's no way to guarantee victories. But when I really stopped worrying about whether or not we were going to win, that's when we start getting on a roll and winning. And that, you know, when you talk about a Southern Utah winning an outright Big Sky title, that's, you know, doing that at Northern Colorado, that's kind of the same thing. Like, that's a major, major shakeup in this league. And I can tell you that I'm starting to sense that where I know these guys are going to perform at a high level. I can't tell you how good our opponents are going to be, especially early in the season, right? I don't, you know, like this, and especially with the transfer portal and NIL now. I don't even know who we're going to be playing. But I can tell you that I'm going to be proud of the way we're going to play. I know the Bears are going to show up. I know they're going to play well. I know we're going
to
be good.
I was just talking to a mutual friend of ours, Blake Olson, who's out, you know, he has a lot of video work for you guys, and he's been in the media, in Denver media forever. And I talked to him yesterday, and I said, you know, this radio station has been involved with UNC in some fashion for so many years, and this is the most invested. Obviously, I do a weekly sit down with the head coach of the football team. this has been so much fun for me. The season is going to mean, regardless of wins, losses, it's just going to mean a lot more, because listening to you talk and hearing how you want certain guys to act, and that's not even the X's and O's that we're talking. We do talk about that, but it's going to mean that much more as far as once the season starts off, because hearing you talk about guys that have grown or they're just taking a leadership role, that's been really fascinating for me.
Well, I'm glad. It's, you know, it's just, as you know, what we talk about here and is organic and real. Now, it's possible that I am not seeing something clearly. It's possible that this team needs a little different message than the one I'm currently delivering. But I'm not hiding anything here. I protect maybe a player's names, but, you know, I'm letting anyone who's caring to listen, I'm letting them fully in. And when I feel like things need adjusting, or I feel like we're in a bad place, you're going to hear that from me. And when I feel like things are moving in the right direction and I have a high level of confidence in the buy-in, the care factor for our team, I'm going to let you know that too. And this summer has been really enlightening for me.
Coach, the emails are coming out. I think I filled mine out already, but the media, they're getting their polls and all that stuff. We're projecting who's going to finish where, and those are always really fun. They're off a lot of times. You know, I know talking to Coach Smiley, speaking to him, I think the Bears last year were picked to finish bottom of the barrel, and they ended up, I mean, 5 games left in the season, they were in the thick of it to win the Big Sky Conference. So it doesn't mean everything, but it is something worth talking about. Win-loss projection kind of thing. I want to get into that with you, like the expectations. Is there a number that you put out there? Because you're also talking about, when I stop worrying about the wins and losses, that's when maybe things start to take hold. But is there a part in the back of your head that's like, there's a certain number we have to get to, we feel like we need to get to?
Good question. Yeah, speaking to Coach Smiley, and I alluded to, we played men's league golf last night. It's a 9-hole little men's league, and it's fun. And the major purpose of his participation, my participation, we actually have there are 3 of us on the team, Troy Nickerson as well, and I'm the alternate guy. But because of our schedules, we probably all end up playing about the same amount by the end of the golf league. And we're there to meet people. That's our priority. That's our motivation. And we're playing against a guy last night, and I won't say his name because I don't want to embarrass him. But really good guy, into what's going on, aware of wrestling and basketball and football and the struggles we're having in football. And he asked me the question a couple of times on the course, Coach, how many wins next year? How many wins? Mm. You know, and some of it's ribbing me, teasing me, gamesmanship or whatever. But I've got that question so many times over the years. And people are so often dissatisfied with the answer, right? But I feel no pressure to tell somebody to give somebody a false narrative or a false confidence. I know we're going to play hard. That's enough for me. I'm completely confident in that. I knew we were going to play hard last year. I knew some of our position group struggles and what that, you know, what some of our challenges might be. I knew we'd have a tough time, you know, standing in the pocket with a pocket passer with a young offensive line that at that point wasn't very good. And so, and you saw that show up in games. We played hard. We never gave up. That transcended throughout the whole year. We had opportunities to win games. And then, you know, lost our top two quarterbacks for the final stretch of the season. Yeah. I thought with some very winnable games. All right, that's what that was then. We're better now. We're going to be in even more games. We're going to have chances to win. We are more dynamic on offense. We've got now the ability to run the ball from the quarterback position, both designed runs and improvised runs. We're going to continue to play what I consider we played solid defense last year, just were on the field too much, couldn't sustain drives and scores. But again, I don't know who our opponents are. Like, it's very possible. You look at Incarnate Word, they're averaging 10, 11 wins a season over the last 4 years. Colorado State, we're playing up a level, completely different financial dynamic, recruiting dynamic, a lot of stuff at play. Both of those games are on the road. We could be as good as both of those teams, but just be on the road, and even the odds makers in Vegas will tell you there's a, you know, sure, there's a 3-point disadvantage to being on the road. We could be as good as both of those teams, which is a national caliber Big Sky championship contender team, and be 0-2. So, you know, anybody that's going to ask me about the actual wins, I've thought this thing through to the point where, look, I'm not going to give you some chippy answer. I'm going to tell you the truth, and I'm going to be proud of our results. That's the best answer I can give.
So there's no number. You're not going to give us a number.
There's like absolutely
no minimum.
No, that's a – yeah.
That's okay.
One of the things I'll always remember, because it's postseason, right? Like, I'm not going to nominate a bunch of guys for preseason all-conference when we didn't win a game last year. I'm worried about postseason. I'm worried about postseason victories. I'm worried about what our standings will be after the season, not some preseason standings. And so, again, I go back to Southern Utah. When I first got there, there was a guy that hit me up at a fundraiser, and I think he's a pretty successful, you know, business guy down there. And he said that same kind of question: how many games are you going to win? And I said, we're going to play hard. And I said, I know we're going to try hard. And then he proceeded to tell me this kind of like parable, half-truth about some battle where the general needed this private to deliver a message across enemy lines, and the private said, I'll give it everything I've got. And the general said, that's just not good enough. And okay, great. Okay, you got me. You got me, man. Like, you've had success in whatever your business is, and maybe you have some kind of business where your competition is predictable, and you know what your margins are going to be for that year. But here's the deal. At the end of that year, I found that guy. And I said, we played hard. And we won. And look at this championship ring. And that's all I care about is anybody who cares to pay attention here in Greeley, anybody who's paying attention to the Bears, all I care about is postseason. And so if somebody's dissatisfied with my preseason answer, I'll just say you're welcome, because you're getting the honest truth.
I love it. Hey, why give us a number like that when you're telling us all the things you've been talking about throughout the weeks is about this team and developing? It's hard to put a number on it. I always think preseason, the rankings are one thing, but the preseason awards are funny to me, because you're going to have the awards at the end of the season, but we have the preseason offensive player of the year. Means absolutely nothing. I never loved that. The rankings are one thing, the polls and all that, but the actual player awards, it's like you're getting an award, but it's not really the award, but we will recognize, kind of. It's weird.
It's bizarre. Yeah, I mean, it's people get excited about it, and so it exists. I don't know any coach that's excited about it. But at the point where, you know, where we've got this program rolling, and we can get our guys some preseason recognition, you know, then I'll be the guy submitting a bunch of names, because it is a good thing for guys. But right now, there's nobody going to vote for our guys. Hunter Green has established himself, and he may get some preseason nods, and so that's why I pushed for him in the preseason. But everybody else on our team that I really believe in, I'm completely focused on them getting postseason awards.
Well, I think the people that think that that sent me the polls and all that stuff to vote, because this is the second year I've done it, I think they think I'm like a beat writer and a reporter and stuff. So you know what I'm going to do. Bears are going to win every single game. every position player is going to be on there. And hey, I might just be right about every single thing. Wouldn't that be something? And I would be the guy, coach. You'd get the championship, and then I would be the one, this wizard, that they're like, wow, how did you see that one coming?
We're trying to fly under the radar here. I don't think your vote is going to change it.
Okay.
But,
all right.
I think our strike zone right now is to fly under the radar.
I will play my part. I haven't submitted it yet. I have two more hours, so I will play my part to a T. We're gonna stay under the radar for this. But coach, you're getting me so pumped up for August 31st. I cannot wait. It is going to be so much fun. And I do want to let our listeners know and let you know, with our Saturdays on KFK, we're putting together a 3-hour preview. It's going to be a Front Range college football preview show where we're going to be talking about all the schools, kind of from Air Force up to even Wyoming. And we're going to be able to really hone in on everything UNC as well. So there's going to be some fun segments there. Blake Olson's going to join us too. We'll probably play back clips from this podcast on the program. But we're going to be gearing people up because August 31st is right around the corner. That's the first edition of that show. So we can't wait. We're going to give people a little tailgate listening as they're getting set for the football games.
Oh, that's fantastic. Thanks for your efforts on that. As you know, I've really... We've made a regional focus in our recruiting and want to do that in terms of reaching out to our fans. And so to be, to be discussed in the context of Colorado or this region of college football, I think that's really cool. I appreciate your efforts on that.
We're going to have Van Shield on the whole show today, coach. Is there a question or two that you need me to ask him? Is there anything that I want to, that you want specifically from you to him on the program today? Because I think we're going to have a lot of people interested in this one. To put you on the spot there.
Yeah, no, I
win loss total. I could ask him that.
I think the reason I'm hesitant here is I think the obvious questions are things that would lead him to like comparisons between Colorado State and Northern Colorado, and maybe you guys want to go there, and I completely trust him and you, and you guys just do whatever you think is right for the program, but I'm completely focused on Van being the best player he can be here at Northern Colorado. And so, my job as I've talked about player development is my core philosophy. And so a guy like Van that comes in with a lot of ability, that's my curiosity is am I reaching him? Am I helping him become a better football player? And that's the only thing that I would be asking him for feedback on is, how's your experience going here? Are you inspired, motivated, directed, and have you become a better player in your short time here?
Well, I'm looking forward to it, and I'll bring stuff up like that for sure. Should I challenge him to an arm wrestling match at all when we're in studio? Because, you always think about it, but then you probably shouldn't.
Yeah, he's going to pass the eye test, as you know. Yeah, I don't think you want to be arm wrestling that guy.
Probably not. I might need the rest of the staff to help me out there if we're going to do that.
Yeah, He's one of the strongest players on our team, and he was one of the strongest players on Colorado State's team. Certainly from a pound per pound perspective in college football, he'd be one of the strongest guys, and you'll see that right through his shirt when you have him on.
Well, I'm looking forward to that one, Coach. And again, appreciate you, the insight that we get from this program. It's really fun, how this progresses. We're getting close to the halfway point. I think, 3 or 4 episodes to go, and then we'll be at that halfway point. I've learned so much. I tell everybody that will listen, this is the most unique broadcast that I've ever done. It's one of the more entertaining broadcasts that I've ever done. I look forward to it every single week. Whenever I talk to other coaches about, hey, can you come on? How long is it? I'm like, well, 10, 15. I think I can go for 10, 15. I'm like, I talk to Coach Lamb for an hour every single week, and most of the time we bust over that. So thank you again. You're getting me pumped up for the season. We got Big Sky Media Days coming up next week. We are we're in the final month without football, and I cannot wait to see what you guys do on the field.
Me too. Always so appreciative of your efforts on this and the fact that we're able to put this together.
All right, Coach. We'll get after it for episode number 24, Champ Bailey's number. There we go. See, I remember the old school numbers. Episode 24 will be at us coming at us next week of Football 52. That'll do it for us. We'll talk at you guys in a few days.